So today we come to the last of the three parts of our series called One Generation Blessing Another. Just think back for a second. In that first sermon, we spoke about how we pass our faith on from one generation to another generation to another generation to another generation. We put the chairs and we said we need to be an intergenerational church with at least three chairs, where we pass that on. When we become a two-chair church, we're done. It just dies. Last week, I took that and I made it a little more practical, and I said the most important thing that we need to learn about a faith community is that we are running this faith race, but not as individuals. We're running this together as a team, and we said we're running this as a relay team in which we need to pass the baton from one generation to another generation. Today, I want to make that a little more practical even. And we're going to talk about this most amazing thing, that maybe the most important part of passing something is along is the moment of release and letting go. We need to become masters of giving, because that's what love is, we said last week, right? Love doesn't ask, love doesn't take, love gives. And the greatest gift of passing something along is that moment where we can release that. So read with me our scripture passage today. It comes from Psalm 145. I'm going to read the first seven verses. And I'm reading NIV. I will exalt you, my God, the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. And then our focus verse for the day. One generation commends your works to another, and they tell of your mighty acts. They speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty, and I will meditate on your wonderful works. They tell of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. They celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. One generation commends your works to another, and they tell of your mighty acts. How do we become masters of giving? Three things, I think. The first way to become a master of giving is by giving wisdom. And you know, I touched on this in the first sermon when I spoke and I said to the older generation, please don't say that I'm too old, I can't do this. You are honored. And this is mostly focused on you, this moment of giving wisdom. And I'll explain this. I spoke to a few of our young adults, young Christ followers, and then I said to them, answer this question. What is the one thing that you would like us as an older generation to know about you and your faith walk as Christ followers? And you know what most of them said to me? They said, we want the older generation to know that we need them, that we need their help, we need their generosity, we need their wisdom, we need their mentorship, we need their guidance. One of them wrote this, and this is pretty cool. Following Jesus is getting less and less common and more criticized. This is a young adult writing this. We would love to have older, wiser, more experienced Christ followers as part of our lives to balance that out a little and to remind us that we aren't crazy for pursuing Jesus, and to generously share their wisdom and experience in life and as believers. We want them to share their wisdom and their life experience. I know I know popular culture kind of looks at the older generation and they say, we're not woke enough, whatever that means. You should know by now what that means. So we don't have a place. No, no, no. In a faith community, we are so important. You are so important. The young generation of Christ followers need you to balance. Did you hear that? This world that they are living in that kind of looks at them and saying, why are you following Christ? Are you nuts? They need your wisdom. Let me give you an example from my own life, how important this is. And I'm sorry, that's the best of the worst examples I have. Studying to become a minister takes you 7 years where I come from, 3 years undergrad, and then you go into seminary. First year seminary, I started working in this church with an older minister. Grew to love him very much, and you've heard me speak about him often. His name was Reverend Jan van Graan. And I just called him Jan in my language, which means Uncle Jan. Jan played a huge role in my life. Let me tell you a little bit about Jan. When I met him, he was quite close to the end of his ministry. Jan at that stage only had about 5% vision left. He was 95% blind. Despite that, he did all of his work as a minister. Imagine preparing a sermon, having to wear these thick glasses, and then trying to read with a magnifying glass those books that you need to prepare the sermon. Study that and go and preach that. Jan taught me so many things that I could learn from his life as a senior minister. One of the things I'll never forget, he always said, you need to love all people equally, Aubrey. Those who love you and those who can't stand you. Those who care for you and those who turn their back on you. Because God put them in your hands as his flock and your flock, and you need to love them unconditionally. Jan was this amazing pastor. He would go to hospital 9 o'clock in the morning, sit next to that bed until 9 o'clock tonight. I still can't do that. I've never done that in my life. But that was just this man. And I looked at him and I was in awe and I was learning from him about care and compassion. The most important thing that I want to share with you is when we got to the point where now I'm in my second year seminary, third year seminary, and that's when Jan was getting ready to retire. By now I'm allowed to preach. And he would often always just lift me up and inspire me in my preaching, because Jan knew that was something that I loved and it was a passion in my heart. But as he was getting ready to retire, I was still there and I was getting ready to finish my studies and then become minister. And I shared with him my passions, but I also shared with him the fears and the things that I thought that I wasn't able to do and all the anxieties around all of this. And then Jan looked me in the eye and he said, I've seen you grow. It's a young man working with the youth, a young man who can preach in my congregation and help me with my pastoral care. And I've seen you. And I know who you are. And I know that you can do this. And then he said to me, because I believe in you. I'll never forget that to this day. Here's this man who has lived life. Here's this man who has been through ministry. This man who had his own struggles not being able to see and yet doing this. And he says to me, I believe in you. I know you have it. I know you have what it takes to go do that. And he shared with me generously his wisdom and his help, and he mentored me. Thank you, Jan, for doing that. It's going to be with the Lord a long time ago. So can I challenge you? If you are one of our senior members, will you invest your wisdom into the lives of our younger generation with your help, your guidance, your mentorship, and your wisdom in life? Steph, who is our family, our youth ministry leader, Steph is going to ask some of you to come speak to the youth, to come and share those life experiences. If she doesn't ask you, you can just volunteer. Please do that, because that's how we pass the gifts that we have. And the greatest way to pass that is by releasing it and giving that wisdom. Second way in which we become masters of giving is by having empathy with each other. And if the first one was focused a little on the more senior generation, this is on both generations, younger and senior. And I'm going to give you two examples, so bear with me to explain this. So in the last Olympics, just the other day, you remember a young woman called Simone Biles, a well-known athlete, U.S. athlete, wonderful athlete. But in this Olympic game, she decided that there were some of the events that she was just not going to do because it was too much for her. And she felt too much pressure, and she decided that she was going to focus on one or two events only. So what happened is, of course, the press does these things, though. They interviewed people and asked. And when they spoke to the younger generation said, "We commend her for being strong enough to say, I can't do that and I don't want to do that." Some said, "It's wonderful to know that she realizes that there's more to life than medals and competition." Some of them said, "We're so grateful for her for standing up and saying, I need to do this for my own mental health." When they spoke to some of the older generation, it was very interesting. They weren't negative, but they said, "We understand what she did, but we really feel that that it was the wrong thing to do. We felt that she left her team and the country. She let them all down." Now, we're not debating who's right, who's wrong, what she did was right, was it wrong. That's not the debate. All I'm trying to show you is that we are often different, and we see life different, and we need to have empathy with each other. As an older generation, we need to understand that the younger generation look at the world, look at life, look at work completely different from the way that we do. That's what happens. New generation comes in, gets from the older generation, builds on that, but also changes that. For the new generation, it's important to look after their life, their wellness, their mental health, their internal health, their all-over health. And you'll easily hear them say, "I'm going to take that day off because I'm going to take this as a mental health day." Where many of us in the older generation was kind of, "Say what? We just work, do. We need to have empathy for each other. Because it's very easy to just kind of step back and look off from a distance and say, "Holy Moses, what's this world coming to?" But let me take you back to that question. What do you want the older generation to know about you as the younger generation? Do you know what they said as well? "We hope that they will understand how hard it is to be a Christ follower in this world." And there's this big word. I hope they will understand. Isn't that what empathy is? Understanding how the other one thinks and does and accepting that. But younger generation, I can't let you off the hook. When we talk about empathizing with each other, you also need to understand that we're older. And we think differently. Just for a moment, I want you to think about your grandparents and your great-grandparents. Think about the things that they lived through. When I think about my grandparents and my great-grandparents, they went through the Depression. My mother was born just as the Second World War was kind of getting on its way. Those folks stood in line with food stamps to get food. Some days there wasn't enough food for them. They grew up in a world that was really hard and really difficult, and work was not always that easy. I remember my parents, my grandparents driving hours to get to us, bringing us groceries because times were so hard that we didn't have enough to eat. So they brought that, not because my father didn't work or my mother. My mother, there was no work for women in those days. My dad worked his hands through. But it was hard to make ends meet. While their grandkids, my kids now, take out their phone, play with their thumbs, and 15 minutes later, we skip the dishes. We need to understand that these worlds are different. We don't necessarily get all the technology as easily as the younger generation. It doesn't always work that well for them. They're trying. They grew up in a different world where telephones had tails and plugged into the wall. You don't even know what I'm talking about. We need to come together and say, I get it. I can empathize with who you are and how often it's difficult in a new and a changing world, because this world is divisive enough. The church needs to be that place where we can come together in unity. That's what makes it compelling. That's what makes it contagious. I'm going to end. To become masters of giving, we also need to learn to honor. And maybe I'm speaking to the younger generation specifically here. We need to learn to honor. I stand here today not just because I worked really hard and put my life into this, but I stand here today because of those who came before me. My grandparents and my great-grandparents. I was blessed. I knew my grandmother, great-grandmother, and my great-grandfather. I knew them. I knew my grandmother on my mother's side really well. She and my great-grandmother lived with us since I was 6 years old till the day that they passed away. And I knew these two women as two godly women, women who loved the Lord with all of their hearts. Who showed me when I walked in their room, I would find them on their knees when they could still do that, praying, otherwise sitting quietly on their beds, reading their Bibles. I have a mother and a father that taught me from little boy, sat with me, read my Bible with me, prayed with me, taught me about the Lord. And I can stand here today because of that. And I thank God. I have three children. And all three of them are Christ followers to this day. One generation to another generation to another generation to another generation. And I speak of myself, but I want you to think of yourself and those that have come before you so that you can be where you are, young people. Can we honor them today for what they have done in our lives? But today I also want to do something publicly. I also want to honor those who have come before us here at Central Church, to make Central Church the place that it is. The leaders, the elders. Do you know that this church in 140 years, including me, has only had 7 ministers? Does that say something about this church? Today, publicly, I want to honor those who came before me as leaders. Thank you for the legacy you left and allowed me to take that up, take the baton, and you let go so that I could run. Be part of this. Sessions, elders who have come through this church through all of these years building it. I want to honor the elders that are part of our leadership right now for their vision, for their insight, for their courage to change and to move. Because it's not that easy always to move. I want to honor this congregation, those who came before us, those who sat in these pews way longer than us, and who showed us the way congregation who's prepared to give. Remember, young folks, it's easy for you to say, man, we like this kind of music, we like this worship. There are many of us for whom that is hard. Grew up in a different way, and yet this church has said, we get you, and we'll give. I want to honor you for that today. Each and every volunteer, every Sunday school teacher, I honor you today. Can I ask you something? If you think of someone today that did this for you and changed your life, maybe you haven't spoken to them for a while, can I ask you to honor them? Maybe take a pen and paper and write them a little note, because you know what? Some of them still read that. So write them a little card or send them a little note. Call. Just say thank you. Thank you for giving to the Lord. And I want to honor you for that. For that is how the Church of Jesus Christ works. One generation blesses another. Amen. So in the background, little music's playing. I'm going to sing the song, The Blessing. As we sing the song and there's someone that you want to bless, will you please just bless them in your heart? Will you please just lift them up to the Lord and say, thank you, Lord, for the blessing that they have been in my life, for what they have done and what they have given. May the Lord bless you and keep you.
The Lord bless you and keep you. Make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face toward you. His favor be upon you and a thousand generations, and your family and your children and their children and their children. May His favor be upon you and a thousand generations, and your family and your children and their children and their children. May His favor be upon you.